Welcome to this podcast from the Commonwealth Club of California, a nonprofit, nonpartisan forum open to the public. I'm Gloria Duffy, President and CEO of the club. To learn more about events or membership, join us online at commonwealthclub.org.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm Michael Pappas, Executive Director of the San Francisco Interfaith Council and your chair for this evening. We also welcome our listening audience and invite everyone to visit us online at commonwealthclub.org. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker. Salma Arastu is a world-renowned, award-winning artist and author. She received her Master of Fine Arts from MS University in India. Raised a Hindu and a convert to Islam, Salma hopes to unite people of all races, faiths, and genders through her art. Her main media are sculpture, calligraphy, and paintings, which are in collections worldwide. In 2010, Dancing with the Stars, her 8-foot sculpture was installed in San Diego, and her family sculpture was selected to be in a prestigious Russian exhibition. Salma has written several books of free verse and short stories in Hindi and is currently working on a book about Rumi. They say a picture says 1,000 words. If you look around the room, you can see that we are blessed by works which are gracing these walls. And I have to begin this evening with a little bit of a confession. I walked in with a cup of coffee, and I realized it was Ramadan. But in the process, this time of fasting is a special time for the people of the Islamic faith, but I feel like tonight we are going to be fed spiritually by this very blessed and inspiring artist. And so without further ado, I give to you our speaker this evening, Salma Arastu.
Thank you so much, and I'm not sure what all he told is all true, because I'm just a humble artist and I try my best. Is it okay? So I must thank you all for giving me this opportunity to share my vision with you today. And I'm especially to talk about this topic, sacred heritage, a merging of Hindu and Muslim traditions. And that leads me to discuss my art informed by spirituality, Islamic values, concept of beauty in contemporary culture. In the fabric of Indian cultures, faith is woven in with each distinct thread. There's no norm, no basic point of view, no common belief, yet faith is inherent in everything. Because spirituality is not always associated with formal religion, the dominant characteristic of traditional Indian art and culture is its spirituality. Arts and life mingle in India, and that's the land of my birth. I shall relate my creative journey from Mirabai to Rumi, in search of eternal love. To portray that search, I have to give you a little bit the background of my life as I spent in India, and then proceed with my slideshow to present my perspective through my paintings and sculptures. On a very personal note, I considered myself to be a spiritual artist even before I embraced Islam. I was born a Hindu, and I was raised reading the Vedas, the Upanishads, the Ramayana, and Gita. My mother, being very spiritual, directed me towards God and said that God has created me for a special reason, and that I should try and find that special reason. I immersed myself in drawing and painting, and it has been the vehicle for me to find out the purpose of my existence. Through my exploration with different colors, textures, line, forms, and shapes, while at the same time moving with different people, living with different cultures, going through different situations, I have discovered that ultimately we all belong to one God. And whether we are black or white, yellow or brown, perfect or imperfect, our purpose is the same. We all have to return to one God. For me, the two fields of art and spirituality merged to enable me to function as both as an artist and a philosopher, with spirituality infusing every moment of my artistic creation. My work is directly influenced by my faith in God, and this faith has given me energy, inspiration, and uplifting attitude. It has been my covenant with my Creator that by portraying beauty, I want to spread that energy, joy, and peace and love that He has bestowed upon me. I experience the presence of the unseen through my art, and an undefined energy inspires me to fill the surface of the canvas with moving lines and penetrating textures. This image is from a new series called From Mirabai to Rumi in Search of Eternal Love. I'll come back to this series of work later in my talk. And right now, I would like to take you through my key words and explain the essentials of my philosophy through my art. Religion, spirituality, God loves beauty, my artistic tools to portray beauty, Islamic values, contemporary culture, and purpose of art. Religion. What is it that we mean and understand from the word religion? It comes from an ancient Latin word that means simply to tie things together. Religion is the human quest for coherence and meaning in the understanding of the world. In Islam, deen means religion, and that is defined as a way of life. And since it is a way of life, artists cannot but portray the deen or their way of life in their works. I believe that if one lives as a true Muslim, the faith will be reflected through his or her actions or works, expressing personal thinking and philosophy while respecting the Islamic precepts. As a teenager, Hinduism was described to me as Sanatan Dharma, or the eternal law that sustains, upholds, and preserves. In that sense, dharma is also a way of life. In Hinduism also, one cannot separate the life from religion. Now here are some images which are our day-to-day activities of any Indian, whether Hindu or Muslim, from my point of view. This one is called Praying Together. Community prayers and gatherings to worship and to hear sermons. Reaching out. It is so common to reach out and help the needy in neighborhoods or community. You will notice that this figure is trying to hold as many people as she could with all her hands. Sharing knowledge among own community and with others. Welcoming guests, welcoming neighbors, friends, relatives with a warm hug. When she became a widow, everyone gathers around to share the sorrow at someone's death in the community. There is a total awareness of togetherness and community. Spirituality. The next key word is spirituality. More and more people in the present day perceive spirituality and religion as akin, but two separate ways of seeking God. William Irwin Thompson states that religion is not identical with spirituality, rather religion is a form spirituality takes in civilization. One might say that a key difference is that religion is a type of formal external search, while spirituality is defined as a search within oneself. Consider the words of Wassily Kandinsky, the Russian artist, when he said, "When religion and science are shaken, and when outer supports threaten to fall, man withdraws his gaze from outside and turns inwards." The artist wanted to create art to directly improve and refine the human soul, and to send light into the darkness of man. In Hinduism, spiritual knowledge is usually defined as a realization of our oneness with Supreme Soul. And we all have a divine element within us, a thought, which is also emphasized in Islam. In the Quran, Allah says, "Call on me and I will answer your prayer." And Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "I am easily reachable who think of nothing but me." So how could I see the difference? So this image is showing Lord Krishna surrounded by village maidens. Being raised as Hindu, I have these images still in my mind and I try to represent them because they just represent the love for God. And it's basically that feeling I'm trying to bring in my paintings. I have done this as a series, this theme. And one of the painting is right here. The first painting on the wall is also from that series, Blue God series. "I found you all around me." This is about Ras Leela, the magical night where each village maiden thought the Lord Krishna is dancing with her only. "Prayer. Prayer opens up new vistas for me every day." "Spiritual ecstasy. The Sufi concept of achieving spiritual ecstasy and the ritual of whirling. Returning to one God. This concept reappears in my works as I truly believe in it." This is just showing either a Hindu or a Muslim, they just walk with full faith towards that pilgrimage or God or temple or whatever we say. So these two paintings just show you that in the left side painting, the crowds are going to the temple, and which is a common scene in India. And the other scene shows you the crowds around the Square of Truth in Mecca. And this I call world harmony. This is my eternal dream of world harmony where entire nations come together. God loves beauty. The substance of art is beauty, and Islamic terms is called Jamal, a divine quality which brings art and life together. There are many verses in the Quran that talk about beauty. Take the verse, "God made everything that He created beautiful." Or the verse, "Act beautifully as God has acted beautifully towards you." Professor Syed Hussain Nasir comments on the hadith, "God is beautiful and He loves beauty," where He says, "To beautify things is to see God's beauty reflected in things and therefore to turn to God." He further defines in his interview for the book, The Inner Journey, Views from the Islamic Tradition, the function of art, according to Islamic conception, is to ennoble the matter. Islam is a religion that emphasizes beauty, and as a civilization was always based on the attempt to create beauty. Beauty is a way of access to God. A Christian poet and essayist, Lucy Shah, writes in her essay, Beauty and the Creative Impulse, "God made us human beings in His image. We participate in creative intelligence, giftedness, originality. Therefore, we were each in an image of our Creator, created to create, to call back to beauty." Indian art is intimately associated with the Hindu religion and philosophy. Indian wisdom has always extolled art as a key to the salvation of ultimate release sought by all good Hindus. There is a holistic quality about Indian art, a unity of many forms and artistic experiences. So with this background, for me, beauty lies not only in truth, but in idealizing the truth, in uplifting the spirits, in giving hope, and in showing the spark of divine light. My paintings and sculptures reveal the joy and love which I feel and experience while creating it. Here I lean on Plato's words for support, "Beauty is the splendor of the truth." This sculpture is Allah, it's written in Arabic calligraphy, it's in aluminum. But I just wanted to show you that if I just turn this sideways, it looks like Om to me. So that's the beauty of beauty. And this is beauty is multiplied. Beautiful names of Allah. I decided to paint the beautiful names of Allah to pay my tribute to the most beautiful. This painting is 5 feet tall and 20 feet wide. beauty of line in creating the form, Lord Ganesha. Mm-hmm. The family, the beauty reflected in the unity of the family and the shape of the form. This is a sculpture which is right now in exhibition in Moscow, in Russia, presently. Alhamdulillah, beauty reflected through color and movement. Sharing light, beauty in sharing light, knowledge, joy, love, according to Sufi thought. Celebration of life and nature. I have done several paintings with theme of celebrating life, as there is beauty and positive energy in the theme itself. Celebration of life, one, beauty reflected through the lyrical line in aluminum. My artistic tools to portray beauty, the lyrical line. Line is a source of creativity and possesses endless power and energy. My journey on canvas begins with a line and it is continuous and moving. I train myself to create any object in still life or trees or flowers in nature or human figures with a continuous line. But my visit to Isfahan Mosque in Iran was an eye-opener and soul-searching experience. It was my first exposure to Arabic calligraphy. The moving, graceful line formed different shapes and lengths and created meaningful words. I was amazed and sat down to copy the calligraphic lines. Gradually, it became my obsession to sit and copy the moving line, and it aroused a need for me to understand these letters. I learned Arabic letters, read about different styles of writing them and forming words. I started to learn the meaning of these words and continued absorbing these magical lines that describes the wisdom of Al-Quran. Slowly, the fluid line of Arabic calligraphy started emerging in my paintings and connected figures evolved. I would like to share with you some of my Arabic calligraphic designs and paintings and present to you that how the calligraphic line gradually transferred into my abstract figures in my paintings. This one is just the pure joy of writing Arabic letters when I just started. And this is called Bismillah Rahman Rahim. So I enjoyed the flow of lines and used to create several designs. I mean, I have so many designs. Because another thing, I'm very grateful to God because of this energy within me that I can go on creating. And they just flow out. I mean, I'm so grateful for that. So I did several designs and then I used them as greeting cards for Islamic festivals. But then I started doing calligraphy paintings, which bring me more satisfaction now. So in these, you know, these, first I was doing calligraphy as a design only, separately when I learned, because basically I was trained as an artist, painter. So, but then slowly I could combine it, like I could bring the calligraphy in my paintings. So this is one, this is called Salam. I trust Allah. And this is something new I'm experimenting presently, that I paint in acrylic paints, and then I have learned about this computer graphics now. Photoshop is amazing. So I'm trying to insert the Arabic calligraphy digitally in my paintings. So that brings the contrast. And especially in this painting, you will notice that the painting is done in acrylics, but then I inserted that illuminated form in the background digitally in my painting. And this is praying again. This is where I started connecting figures. The same flowing lyrical line, I started connecting them into figures. So this is called tribal joy. And I think as I work with this free line, I need more and more wider and wider canvases. So I've been working generally around when my large painting 84 inches to 96 inches, you know. But I thoroughly enjoy these works. And this is called, this is just the lyrical line, and this is my sketchbook. I keep sketching all the time with line. And in this painting, I try to draw with white on black surface. Textures. Creating expressive textures and patterns or adding fine details has been my essential tool. If I was not painting, I was drawing and using pen and ink to create these small patterns and designs. I used to study miniature paintings closely, and I was left in awe watching the details on these artworks. Folk art, pattern fabrics, mirror work, embroidery all appealed to my senses. After my exposure to Islamic arts, I included arabesque and non-ending geometric patterns in my paintings too. So here you will notice the geometric patterns in the background, and this painting is called Sufic Trance. This is a group of women, and this is called How to Solve the Problem. And in this, I have done the fabric patterns with the pen and ink on acrylic painting. This is called the bride, and I use very small brush strokes to create the textures of fabrics, and I'm often told that this piece reminds of Klimt. Layers of colors. Acrylic paints suited me perfectly, as I could layer my paintings with thin glazes and work with fine textures and layer again to achieve transparency and fluidity and mystery. Mystery has become a very important tool for me to express the depths of my journey in faith. My faith opened up this treasure for me, and maybe this is what also known as evolution of artist, but I felt free and flowing on my canvas. All the influences of different cultures synthesized on my canvas. This painting has layers of colors, and that brings the illumination in this painting. Almost 15-20 layers I do in each painting. Mandala, this painting has several thin layers again. Now, coming back to keywords, I want to take you back to the next keyword, which is Islamic values. I accepted Islam when I got married, and as by then, the concept of one God was clear in my mind. I knew that prayer rituals would change, but God or Allah are two names pointing to the same reality. Today, Islamic values are more important to me, and I'm especially touched by two major ones. Firstly, Tawheed, or that is, Allah is one, abstract, formless, infinite, and beyond imagination. The circle appears in my painting symbolically, representing one God as the center, eternal and without beginning or end. It is also the source of light, life, and energy. Secondly, God has created diversity among humans, and He commands them to establish unity by living together in harmony and turning towards Him with praise. So, through calligraphy, I was praising Allah, and by drawing these connected figures, I wanted to bring the whole world together symbolically and spread Allah's love by the positive energy of lyrical lines. I would like to illustrate this through several of following slides now. This is called Let Faith Arise. This painting brings all people together under the canopy of God, who is one and only. You may find different symbols from other religions in the top portion, the half circle on the top, and all people are just praising God. Towards the light, holding each other, moving towards the light. This statement was written by Pana Columbus about my work, which clearly describes my intentions. Salma Rastu is attempting to create a world through her artwork in which the magic of communion plays a central role. Her subjects include people who, whatever they do together. They initiate each other, they celebrate together, they grieve together, they pray together. This one is called a storyteller. People come together in my works, sharing and communicating. Chanting together. Women often chant together in songs of the praises of God. Celebration of life. Celebration and dancing around the circle is my favorite series. Dancing around the tree, praising the nature supreme. Professor and artist Halide Salam wrote as an introduction to my work, each painting is a celebration of human relationships, mother to child, husband to wife, individual to community, in their most vulnerable and private moments. So here I'll show you some of my relationships with people. This is called mother. I draw with single line and try to achieve the form. Relationships are important to me. Consolation, supporting and consoling each other. Motherhood. Being a mother, I enjoy this drawing of mother and child. And now I'll show you some images which are the themes of flow of humanity. Music fest. Like I enjoy drawing people in festivals as there's no question of difference. It's all about the celebration together. Homeless one. In San Francisco, I found these images of homeless people moving along with the flow of humanity. And I think they are also part of our humanity. The fall festival, this is called the In Search of Better Horizons. It's just showing the generation moving towards the better horizons all through the ages. The fall festival, diversity was planned by nature, and festivals bring diverse people together. And as I explained earlier, that's the reason I enjoy doing festivals. Subway, New York. New York and subways did intrigue me for a long time after I moved to US. New York is an amazing place, you know. But let me tell you about this next painting, which was done after 9/11. I was living very close to New York in Pennsylvania that time. And this painting is very large again. Again, 96 inches or 100 inches wide. And I just started doing it without... It was so painful to watch everything on television and hearing whatever media was talking about. And then I did this painting almost after 15 days. And especially, let me tell you, my daughter's wedding was fixed for 21st of September. So first thing I had to do to postpone the wedding, it was so difficult, so painful. And then I didn't go to my studio for a week or 10 days, but I went there, I did this painting. It's a very large painting, and you'll be surprised. Not intentionally. Generally, you will see my colors. I use a lot of colors in my painting. But this day, when I picked up my colors, they were just gray and red and black and white. So when I did this painting, the thought I'm telling you, what I had in mind when I called it The Tragedy Is Not Over Yet, because I started this painting with the towers being burnt and the planes coming and the people are just shocked, watching from all over the world. But within a week I heard that America is sending the planes, war planes, to the east now to kill some more innocents. So I call, you will see the war planes going from west to east. Later on. So I call it The Tragedy Is Not Over Yet. One continent and one humanity. But I dream of this global world as one continent and one humanity. Curator of International Art at Brooklyn Museum, Charlotte Kotick, said in an introduction for my catalog in 1999, Salma Rasu's work conjures together personal memories, cultural history of places where she lived, religion and mythology, and a good dose of fantasy. The blending of traditional and contemporary imagery proves that she is striving for a unique personal expression. Visual elements from numerous cultures, traditional and modern, Eastern and Western, are her tools. These following works are directly inspired by miniature paintings. I believe that I'm taking the tradition forward, as these are executed in contemporary style where the composition, the feel, and jewel-like quality is maintained. I relate my personal memories from journey in these artworks, and I call them golden moments. Please review these slides, and later on you can see some of the pieces which are on the back wall. They are from my series, which is called Golden Moments. And let me tell you, these are small. I enjoy doing them, especially after doing those large pieces, free-flowing pieces. I enjoy these small pieces also as much as I do the large pieces. So these are normally 18 by 18 inches or 20 by 20 inches. And these are small and very, very intimate works. These are just the memories of my childhood in India, in Rajasthan, or from Iran, or in Hyderabad. So these are just my memories. This one is called Nighttime Stories, where grandma is telling the stories inside the room on the bed. And this is called Leisure in the Afternoon. And let me tell you, these... I work with real passion on these paintings, and the details are like meditating. So these are like my relaxing pieces. After doing very large pieces, I come back to my small pieces. Being from Indian origin, I can proudly say that Islamic and Hindu, both traditions are merged within me. Arabic calligraphy, miniature art, Hindu folk art, all are assimilated on my surfaces. Now, after years of practice, I cannot separate the influences. This synthesis in my work brings us to our present contemporary culture, which has no limits or boundaries. Through this contemporary culture's vital, true, and a melting pot for all cultures, we see that divisions are solidifying between Muslims and non-Muslim across the globe because of ignorance, which generates fear in the hearts. In an effort to foster understanding and tolerance among people, I have started this new series of painting last year. Actually, three new series of paintings since last year. The first one is called The Words of Wisdom, Transparent Images, and reflection on words of wisdom from Al-Quran. And in this series, I'm trying to express ideas about the celebration of diversity, unity, love, and compassion from Al-Quran to the people of the world through my lyrical paintings and calligraphy and human universality. This one is called Living Together Compassion. So I started as diptychs. So on one canvas or one wood panel, I'm doing the calligraphy. It's the verse from Quran, and which talks about the compassion. It orders mankind to live together in compassion. So in another painting, I'm doing these lyrical connected figures sitting together, sharing. This one is called We Belong to One God. So this is again a diptych, and the verse is saying that we have to return to one God. And on the other panel, I'm showing all people, all different colored people walking towards the God. As I told you, circle appears in my paintings. It's not necessarily sun or moon or anything, but I think I call it the circle of energy. And recently I'm doing these paintings on one canvas now. So I think it's since last year I'm working on these, so now I'm able to bring calligraphy and human presence in painting together. So this one is known as a prayer where it said that indeed I have been among the wrongdoers. I don't know if you can notice at all, but there's one figure, he's in prostrating position, you know, in the center, in the painting. So, and this one is Sufi chanting. And this, I have written the kalima, like La ilaha illallah, that means God is the, there's no other God but Allah. So this one I've written 70 times. It's like echoing the Sufi chanting. The next series is called Turning Rumi, Singing Verses of Love, Unity and Freedom. I'll show you some images now. And these paintings are humble efforts in trying to reflect the spirituality in the poems of Rumi. This one, I started with my mixed media pieces, like it's a very small piece, but I have used copper in this painting to show the figure in the center. But again, I'm doing these in my miniature style paintings because this is something I enjoy. And apart from that, I feel Rumi's paintings go well with the miniature painting style. And then I have written the Arabic, the Persian calligraphy, the original verse, which is in Persian. So I'm writing it along the borders. So this is very satisfying to me that I'm conveying a poet's message through my painting. A poet who speaks my heart. And the third series is called From Mirabai to Rumi, In Search of Eternal Love. So this is where I want to tell you that how from Hinduism I came to Islam, and it's like how I come from Mirabai to Rumi now. When I was very young, only I think 5 or 6 years old, I remember my father would hold me in his arms and say, "This is my Mirabai," because he saw my love for Lord Krishna. And as my mother had directed me and found me immersed in talking to God all the time. So as I grew up, I learned the bhajans sung by Mirabai and learned about her life and how she dedicated her life in love for Lord Krishna. Today when I read Rumi, I find the same eternal longing for love of God echoing in the verses. Now listen to this. Mirabai says, O friends on this path, my eyes are no longer my eyes. A sweetness has entered through them, has pierced through to my heart. Meera belongs to Giridhar, the one who lifts all. And Rumi says, when the sweet glance of my true love caught my eyes, like alchemy, it transferred my copper-like soul. I searched for him with 1,000 hands. He stretched out his arms and clutched my feet. So I'll show you some of the images now. You will notice that Mirabai is surrounded by image of Lord Krishna. And while Rumi is free and is just whirling out in the pure joy of finding the treasure of this love for God. And here, you will see that Mirabai is suffering the separation, the pangs of separations. But Rumi, though he is also separated from God, but still he wants to dive down deeper into depth of the love for God. So this is the difference I feel, but later on we can talk about it. And before I come to the conclusion of my presentation, let me share with you my fourth and more recent tool for expression of beauty, metal and wood sculptures. My linear figures spring to life as three-dimensional forms through laser cut and water jet technologies. I have several designs fabricated in steel, copper, aluminum and wood, and a couple of these have been installed as public art this year. These public sculptures will allow me to spread my feelings of love, unity and celebration of life among all people. So this gives me really pleasure. This piece is called Dancing with the Stars, and this piece is 8 feet tall in steel and installed in the port of San Diego. Celebration of life. This piece is 10 feet tall, stainless steel, and installed at Steel Stacks in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, last month. And these are some proposed designs for public art. And this is called Nurturing One. And this is called Jazz One. Purpose of art. Artist Annette Klevitsky wrote in her essay, Purpose of Art, the main purpose of art is the expression of boundless ideas and concept. This endeavor can model behaviors, shape beliefs, and create shared experiences. Kandinsky strongly believed that the purpose of art is to increase spirituality in the world. He called for an art sprung mystically from the soul, an art rising towards heaven. Despite the current deviations and corruption within Islam and other religions in the modern world, Professor Nasser places the greatest emphasis on the application of spiritual principles in solving the crisis of the modern world and creating unity. The unity claimed here is transcendental in the sense that it lies within the religions of the world without denying their forms. Let us all concentrate on God's beauty, which can be common ground. Images have more power than words, and art penetrates more than the words. And art always penetrates and finds its way. So, thank you, and I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me this chance to share my vision with you, and I'm so grateful to you for listening to my vision. Thank you.
Our thanks to Salma Arastu, artist and author, for her comments today and for painting a beautiful picture for us.
Thank you.
I'm Michael Pappas, Executive Director of the San Francisco Interfaith Council, and I shall be moderating today's audience question period. We have a large number of questions and a short period of time. We'd like to remind our listening audience that this is a program with the Commonwealth Club of California, and you are listening to Sacred Heritage, a merging of Islamic and Hindu traditions with Salma Arastu. And because we have, I think, 15 questions for 15 minutes, some of your questions were actually answered, and those of you who wrote them know that. I want to say a special thank you for your good penmanship, because it makes my job a lot easier. I'm going to take the prerogative of the chair, if you will, because there was another question which merged with the one that I had a burning desire to hear your answer, And so I'd like to pose both of these questions at one time. Some of the Middle Eastern countries in which you exhibit are extremely conservative. For instance, Iran. How, as a woman artist, were you able to gain entree to exhibit in what, according to all media reports, appears to be a very closed culture when it comes to women? And along those lines, the person who submitted this question asks, how do you as a woman reconcile the themes of celebration, beauty, etc., to the elements of Islam that require submission and suppression of women?
Oh, no. Well, okay. I think that's the misconception. And I think Islam gives liberty to women. That's the first thing I've learned. After, of course, frankly speaking, when I accepted Islam, I didn't know anything about Islam. I just wanted to get married to the person I loved. That was the basic reason I accepted Islam. And for social pressure, I had to accept Islam because I got married about 37 years back. So frankly speaking, I never felt that separation from my point of view. And secondly, I was able to go in Iran. I don't know what will happen today, if I can do this or not. But luckily, when I did this, my exhibitions there, I did three exhibitions, my stay in 3 years. We were there from 76, 77, and 78. It was period of Shah, and it was very liberal. So frankly speaking, as I said, I don't know how can I do it today, but certainly I had no problem.
If I may be so audacious and ask, you're not wearing a hijab.
Okay, you can ask, sure. Let me tell you, as I told you, I was in India when I accepted Islam. And hijab, I think, is, I don't know much, but I would say it's more regional and cultural. So where Islam was actually started in Middle East, so obviously that was their dress. So maybe I think that way. And moreover, somehow, nobody asked me in my in-laws, my family, because Indian Muslims not necessarily wear hijab, not all of them, frankly. So I think it's very personal, and so far I don't feel the need, because I think the basic purpose of this requirement in Islam is that we should dress with modesty. Like, we should not show our body parts or walk or in such a way that we distract people. So that is the basic reason beyond it. So that's the reason I have done. I haven't done it. I haven't felt the need for it. Because I think, for me, outer hijab is not so important as long as I have that within my heart, that I want to keep that respect for my God.
Thank you. This person asked, do you prefer writing or painting?
Oh, let me tell you, whenever I cannot paint, I write. Because there are some days, you know, I go to my studio and I want to start. If I cannot start, I start writing. It just it happens same time. I can't even describe it. But I enjoy painting because I like the physical part, you know, like I really enjoy it. But sometimes painting and the poem happen the same time also. Like if I'm doing something, I might write a poem about the painting. So it goes together.
Well, I think we might have an art critic in the audience, because this person asks, I'm fascinated by the calligraphic gesture of the figures, especially the faces. Is the absence of faces due to Islamic art tradition? And secondly, is there a word or calligraphic image that inspired your painting of the figures?
No, let me tell you. Right from beginning, like when I was in college in Hyderabad, fine arts, and later I went to Masters in Baroda, MS University. I don't know, right from childhood, I should say, I used to just draw and draw and draw and this continuous lines, you know. And in college, I was creating figures with it. But then my professor in MS University, he stopped me doing that for some time because he asked me, what are you doing? I said, I just want to draw figures with continuous lines. And he said, what do you mean? Do you want to draw lines or you want to draw the figures? He really confused me, and I stopped doing them. So I really stopped doing the figures, and I was just going with abstract movements. But then I think it was a basic need within me, you know. I had to draw the figures, but I'm so connected with people, you know. I feel people are so part of my life, and I was born in a large family. I lived in a place like India, moved in people all the time. And I married in a large family. And I think relationships are so important, like, you know, connecting with people. It's so important to me, that's all. So people had to come back in my work, I think. So they came slowly. I would say for 15 years, I wasn't doing the people until I went to Isfahan. I started doing this calligraphy, which again brought me back to this flowing way of writing and doing things. So, and then from Middle East, I came to U.S. So once I came to U.S., I realized I don't want to go on doing these abstract paintings with movements, because I have to bring my identity. I want to bring where I belong. I want to bring my roots, because here I am lost, because everybody is doing abstract. So I wanted to... So I think it all happened... It's a process. So it happened first with the freedom for the line, and then it happened with my figures came back. So I enjoy doing them. In fact, one of my friend, she's not here today, she said very beautifully about my this present work. She said that normally the calligraphy, Arabic calligraphy, the classic Arabic calligraphy, when you look at it, it brings little fear and respect in your heart, because you think, oh, it's Allah's name. You should be very careful, keep it up, and, you know, things like that. A kind of a distance from the God. But my work, which is just flowing and fluid, the calligraphy, she thinks it brings me closer to human. And then with my figures also, it's drawn the same way. She thinks that in my work, Allah and the humans are coming together. And that's what Allah wants. You know, He wants all people to come together and just recognize Him. So that's all I'll say. It's just happening. I can't boast of that I'm doing it, but it's just happening. It's just flowing through me. That's all I know.
As I read the next question, I was thinking that in the United States in general, and in San Francisco in particular, there's a growing population that claim to be spiritual but not religious. And this person asked, can one aesthetically understand and appreciate the spiritual dimension of Hinduism and Islamic art without being an integral member of either tradition?
Yes, certainly, because I think if you are a spiritual person, you should be able to connect. Because that is the basic thing. Spirituality is the inner connection. So you should be able to understand. I don't know. May I ask you, did you understand my paintings? So I think then you're able to understand that. Yes.
I think sometimes when we look at art too, we try to connect it with something that we can relate with. And this person asked the question, your art reminds me of Chagall. Would you consider him an influence?
Actually, no, I really not. Mm-hmm. I don't think so, because I never studied Chagall from that point of view. But let me tell you, in my college, in my university days, I used to love Paul Klee and Picasso. And M.F. Hussain from India, Amrita Shergill from India. These are four artists. I used to really study them. But I never tried to copy them as such. But I think... again, it's this spiritual connection. We all are artists. We don't know with whom we connect, you know. So that's important, yeah.
Question. Are you a natural artist or were you trained as an artist?
No, I've been trained, but I think I'm also a natural artist, because right from childhood I've been doing it. But I was so lucky that my family, they supported me. I went to undergrad college for 5 years. Then I went for grad school for 2 years. So I'm blessed. So, and I'm able to connect both the traditions, I should say, you know, like.
Perhaps I'll be answering the question, because I was really enamored of your post 9/11 paintings as well as the jazz. You've lived in the United States many years. How is American culture showing up in your work? Aside from those two that I mentioned, are there other pieces that?
Maybe there are some more pieces. Sure, there are. Maybe they are not here in my presentation, but
we have to buy the book.
Yeah, there may be some in my book. Yes, okay. In book also there are some of my poems. So,
this person asked an interesting question. How do you feel about Muslim stereotypes today? And I would go beyond that and say, do you address that in your art?
No, because actually speaking, as I said, Islam doesn't have any problem. And these people do have a problem. And that kind of problem is everywhere in all religions. We don't accept it because we live in that religion. We don't feel it. But the other person stands out, always. So that's what is happening. We are able to find this kind of happening in Islam, but we don't realize that in Christianity or whatever religion we are living in, we have these kind of people also there, you know. So I don't want to put my finger on anyone, because everyone is different, you know. So frankly, I don't want to say anything there.
Okay, fair enough. We've all heard about the art of politics. How many of us have considered the politics of art? As one who exhibits in academic and religious institutions as well as museums, can you give us an example of how, as an artist, you position yourself to win trust and coalition build to gain access to gallery space?
As I said, I have been painter for many years now, almost 37 years. I did my master's in 74. So I've been painting continuously, and I've been lucky to get the shows. I had shows in Iran, I had shows in Kuwait, and then as I landed here in Pennsylvania, I had many shows in Pennsylvania University and all that. Frankly speaking, the Islamic aspect of art, the politics, as you said, happened after 9/11. Because after 9/11, I realized that I want to help establish the positive side of Islam, because it was important, I felt, as an artist. Something interesting happened recently. I'm also a member of my women artist group, which is called Women Caucus of Arts. And I wasn't getting involved with the activities with them. And I always said, I'm not an activist, and you people are more activists. And so I'm just saying, it just happened. So they told me, one of the members says, being spiritual, being trying to state what you are, what you want to say, you are an activist. But I didn't realize it till then. So what I'm saying, it is happening because of the situation, and because I think in my work is happening. Like I told you, I'm doing this words of wisdom, or trying to translate the Rumi's poems in my paintings, or trying to bring Mirabai and Rumi. These are, I know, political themes maybe, but I think I'm doing because there's a need for me to do this.
22 years ago, in the midst of two crises here in San Francisco, a homeless crisis and the Loma Prieta earthquake, the religious community came together and in response to these crises. And I liken that almost to art in the way that some of the most beautiful art is inspired as a response to pain and painful times. I'm wondering if that's the case in your art, and if that is the case, if you could maybe share with us a little bit about how that expression has manifested itself.
I think, as I said, the faith guides me, and I do whatever happens, because I'm very sensitive to people and their suffering, you know. So I think these things are happening in my art because I'm naturally thinking about these things in my mind. So I don't know if I really exactly answered your question, but...
And personally, has there been pain in your life that has...
Yeah, there has been pain in my life, I don't deny that. Actually, let me tell you something. When I was young, I used to write poetry in Hindi. And the first book that I published is called Steps of Pain. And when I published that book about 30 years back, my professor, he said, do you know what is pain? You are writing this poetry about pain. You are so young. You don't know the pain. You haven't realized the pain. You haven't seen the real world yet. But I said, I have enough pain. Like, I imagine that I have a lot of pain, because frankly speaking, I accept now that whatever it is, I was born without fingers on my left hand, and especially with my mother being so spiritual, she right from beginning told me, you are born for a special reason, so don't worry find that reason. And as I said, I immerse myself in drawing and painting. So whatever it is, and love for God and all that, you know, so it was a kind of pain. And I think all those poems are maybe related to that imagined pain. But once I got married, I saw the real world. I went around. I saw people in so much pain. And I realized my pain is nothing. Because I'm blessed. Oh my, I have got everything. I can do everything. I have two beautiful children. I have a loving husband. I have a family. I can paint and I can do anything I want, you know. So that's something happened. Now I think I'm so happy, overjoyed, so excited, full of energy that I want to give that energy and love to everybody. Because as I said, my God gave me that love and energy. And I overcome everything in my life and I feel so blessed. So frankly speaking, with my art, with my work, I hope to give that energy and hope to people who think they are in pain. Because pain is an imagined thing. I think so. Because pain is something you can easily overcome if you share others' pain and if you describe your pain through your paintings or writing, you know, you're free. That's all I have to say. But one thing more, like, you know, somebody had asked me about the figures without face. I think I didn't answer that question. There I want to say that this is happening in my paintings long before, like before I accepted Islam. Because I always believe that we are just the human spirit. I mean, I didn't want any labels. I didn't want any identity connected with my work. That, oh, it's an Indian face, or it is a Chinese face, or is it this way. So I wanted to free myself from that because I just wanted to bring the spirit of the humanity. And I don't like the labels in my life because I was given enough labels in my life. So I don't want to give any labels to my paintings. That's the reason.
Unfortunately, we've reached the point in our program where there's time for only one last question. And interestingly, seven of the questions that were posed all had to do with your conversion to Islam. So I'm going to give an amalgamation of all of these questions, and I hope I do most of them justice. I indulge your patience. According to your biography, you were raised a Hindu, became a Muslim. Can you tell us a little bit about that journey? Was there resentment from your former community? And how has your conversion impacted your role as an artist and attempt to use your art as an interfaith peace-building tool? Take your time.
No, as I said earlier, when the question of conversion to Islam came, it didn't bother me so much, really speaking. Because, as I said, my God was with me all the time. I used to talk with God all the time. So, to accept the fact that I thought because of my hand, maybe I will never marry. I'll just remain true to my God, you know, in my life. But this man walked in my life and he said that he wants to marry and he doesn't care about my hand or anything. So that gave me a new energy, you know. So well, that, and then I was trying, and let me tell you something. I was such a devotee. I would go to temples and pray there and ask God, please tell me, should I do this? Am I doing it wrong? Am I doing it wrong? And then always I got the answer, no, it's God's permission. You are doing it with God's permission. So see, for me, God was important, not the Hinduism. Not the Islam. So I realized God is coming with me. That was a promise he did to me. And I knew he's coming with me. So I wasn't bothered at all. But my family, my mother being very spiritual, in the beginning she was a little upset. I lost my father when I was only 10 years old. So I had my brothers and my sisters and my mother. So my mother, but she accepted it. Because she said, if that is your destiny, my blessings are with you. She was such a wonderful person. And then it so happened that one of my brother was very, very upset. The reason being, we are actually Sindhi Hindus, my family, and they lived in Pakistan. I was born in India, but they lived in Pakistan. And during this partition, they had to come on this side of the map, you know. They came to India. So my brothers had seen that torture and the pain, you know. So they could not forget that. And they said, you cannot marry a Muslim because they are the ones who destroyed us, you know. They did this. So anyway, so one of the brothers especially was very much against it. But because my mother was with me, everybody else reconciled, you know. So in fact, my mother came for marriage. She didn't want me to walk away alone from home. So she came for my marriage, and one of my brother came also, you know. Though it was very painful for them, but they came. And I'm so grateful to them. But believe it or not, now both the families are so connected. And my brother, who was against my marriage, he's so fond of my husband now. Things have just worked out. So in my case, I don't have anything to say except that I'm grateful to God. He just opened up ways for me. Things just happened for me. And that's the reason I'm getting involved with interfaith so much in my mind all the time, because I think we are not different. Why do we concentrate on difference? We are so similar. We are so similar. Why don't we think of those things and come together, you know? That's the basic. And I think I have been asked to do this from within me, that I want to help communities to understand communities, you know. It's kind of a covenant with my God, that He has given me so much talent, now let me do this for Him. That I want to establish that Allah is same, God is same, Bhagwan is same. Why are we fighting with each other? So that's my basic theme, and that's my basic message in my work. So I think I answered that.
Thank you. Perhaps because I was sitting so close to the window, I appreciated the paradox of the evening. There were protesters outside. And here, inside here, we were blessed with peace. Peace in your words, peace in your images. And for that, I'm going to take a risk and say I express our collective gratefulness.
Thank you.
I know we've gone a little bit over, but we have the permission of our filmmaker here, so thank you very much. Our thanks to Salma Arastu, artist and author, for her comments here today. We also thank our audience here and those listening to the broadcast, and now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California, commemorating its 108th year of enlightened discussion, is adjourned.
Thank you so much.